All right, Jabbo, say good morning. Let us begin. A lot to do today. A beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Nun Tes 59. And we are picking up on Nun Ches Amud Beis 58b. And we are picking up, actually, last three lines on the page. Our shir this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar, the learner mishpacha, dedicating all the shiurim and drushos this month in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, in the merit of an aliyah neshama. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama truly has an aliyah and her family a nechama. We thank Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating the week of learning in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zechariah Ben Avram and Dina Bas Pesach, who were both nifter in the month of Adar. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamos have an aliyah and the family in nechama. To thank Jack Bennett for dedicating the week of learning in memory of Tat Aluf Erez Gerstein, who commanded the IDF's Lebanon liaison unit and was killed by Hezbollah in South Lebanon on February 28, 1999. From 1995 to 1997, Erez led the Golani Brigade in a series of operations against Hezbollah in the southern Lebanon to protect our northern border. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama, together with all those who have fallen defending Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, will have an aliyah. And so with that, let us begin. My kima. So remember, again, we ended off yesterday's daf with a discussion about kima. So this constellation kima. So my kima, Amar Shmuel Kimea Kochavi. Kima is a contraction of a word. It's like 100 stars packed together. Well, actually, we'll see. It's like 100 stars. Amar Lei Demechnefi. Amar Lei Demevadron. Some say that the stars are very densely packed together. Others say that they're separated. My Ash, similarly again, what's this constellation of Ash? Mostly just continue what we mentioned yesterday. So Rabbi Huda, Yusa, my Yusa, what's Yusa? Amrilei Zanav Tala, is the tail of the scorpion. So again, the star is the tail of the scorpion. Amrilei Reisha de Egla, and others say it's the head of the calf, I guess that's Taurus. Umistabra Kimandamra Zanav Tala, and it seems to make more sense according to the one who says that it is the tail of the cow, or of the sheep. Dichsiv va'ayish albonei tanchem. Ayish is consoled for her sons. Alma chaseira. Therefore, there's something missing from this constellation. Umischazia top of nantes ketarfa de tarf, and it has the appearance of something that has been hammered flat and is missing some part of it. Supposed to have the Gemara describing ultimately, again, what the constellations look like in the eyes of Chazal. Va'ayda azla basra, da amra le, hav li bini. And ultimately, again, that which it follows behind is as if it's saying, give me back my sons. The constellation is saying, give me back my sons. What does that mean? Shebishar shakadosh baruch hu bikesh lahavim abul olam. What's that beautiful idea? Because ultimately, this is why, I'm sorry to clarify, the reason why Ayish follows after Kima, it's as if Ayish is saying to Kima, give me back my sons. Why? What happened to Ayish? So the Gemara says, "Shebishash Hakadosh Baruch Hu bikesh lahavim abul olam," because when Hakadosh Baruch Hu brought a flood to the world, natal shnekov chamim mikima vehevim abul olam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu removed two stars from Kima, and ultimately, again, the mabul came to the world. So, what's according to this Gemara, the flood waters of the mabul did not come from the waters of the earth, but rather came from the waters of the celestial. So remember, going back to Bereshis, so the whole idea of the Rakia, of the sky, was to divide between the Mayim Elyonim and Mayim Tachtonim, upper waters and lower waters. So the Gemara says that the Mabul came as a result of two stars being removed from Kima, creating some type of opening in the Shamayim, in the Rakia, and allowing the celestial waters to flood the world. U'kishabikesh l'sasma, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to plug up the hole that he made in Kima in order to stop the waters from flowing onto the earth, Natal Shnei Kochavim Ayish. He took two stars from Ayish and plugged up the two holes in Kima. So the Gemara says, "Ay vele hadrala." I don't understand. If you took two stars from Kima, and that was the opening that allowed the celestial waters to flood the world, if you want to plug the hole, why not just plug the hole with those very same stars? Why do you have to now take two stars from Ayish? To which the Gemara says, "Ein habar mismali michul yaso," because everyone knows that you can never fill a ditch with the very dirt that was removed from it. The idea is that when you dig a hole, and you go and you try to fill that hole with the dirt that came from the hole never fills exactly correctly. Inami, in kategar naasa sanegar. Others say it's because the prosecutor cannot become the defender. So the removal of the two stars represents the idea that those stars became the prosecution. They cannot now become the defense, ultimately, to stop the mabul. Velibri lei trei kochav yachrini. So why does Hashem Baruch Hu just create two new stars to plug up the hole in Kima instead of taking two stars from Ayish? Ein kol chadash tachas Hashemesh. Because ultimately, again, there's nothing new in the world. And as we'll say, this is actually an important yisod. After the close of Maase Bereishis, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not create anything new. There's nothing new anymore. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he takes things which already exist and he manipulates them into different forms, but there is nothing new that is created. Amrav Nachman, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzir ala. But when Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the two stars back to Ayish. So we'll say, this is why Ayish, if you look into the heavens, it looks like Ayish is pursuing Kima, because Ayish is trying to get back its two stars. Right? There are two stars taken from Ayish to plug the hole in Kima, but beautifully enough, when Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Ayish back its two stars. Shene'emar, v'Ayish al boneh tanchem. That ultimately, again, Ayish will be consoled for her children. So we'll see, actually, a really beautiful idea that the Gemara is saying over here, this Yisod, that when Mashiach comes, it's not just mankind that is going to be kind of put into a state of equilibrium or harmony, but all of nature is returned to a state of equilibrium and harmony as well. Quite beautiful. Good. So we'll say, so now the Mishnah goes through the list of the various items mentioned. Remember again, so far the ninth parak has been just this one opening Mishnah, where the Mishnah spoke about all the brachos we make on various natural phenomena. So remember again, the next part of the Mishnah was al hazikin va'al hazoos va'al ha'ra'amim va'al ha'ruchos va'al ha'brakim omer baruch shekochu gvurasam al ha'olam. So this is the section of items. Again, we'll define these terms in just a moment. But these are the items for which a person says, shekochu ugvurasam al ha'olam. That your strength and your kochu gvurasam, both of them mean strength. Your strength and your strength, right? Koach and gvura mean different types of strength. We'll see. Fill up the world. So ala zos. So my zos. What are zos? Rav Katina, goha. Rav Katina says, goha. What's goha? So Rashi says over here, Bil shalam kon ri'idas arzgo. Earthquakes. Earthquakes. On earthquakes, you say, shekocho ugvura samale olam. Rav Katina, hava ka'azal ba'archa. So Rav Katina was traveling. Kimata pescha deve uva tamya. So listen to this. One time he was passing by the house of Abitumya. Abitumya is someone who communicates with the dead through the use of bones. He used the bones. Abitumya. So some sorcerer. He passed by the house of a sorcerer. Ganach agua. There was an earthquake. Amar miyo dea uva tamya. Hai gua mau. So kind of Rav Katina said, a little bit in like jest, does the sorcerer know the reason for the earthquake? So Ramale kala Katina Katina, amaylo yadana. So the sorcerer calls out, Katina Katina, right Rav Katina, of course I know, right, of course I know. Why do earthquakes occur? It's actually beautiful, although we'll see, Rav Katina said he's wrong. B'sha HaKadosh Baruch Hu zocher es manav, sheshruim b'tzar b'na umos olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers that his children, Klal Yisrael, are literally steeped in sadness, in diaspora, amongst the nations of the world. Morib shtei demos liyam hagodol. He sheds two large tears that fall into the ocean. V'kolo nishma misofo ha'olam va'ad sofo v'hanu goha. You will say, how do earthquakes occur? The Ribbono Shel Olam sheds two tears when he sees the difficulty, sadness, and suffering of Klal Yisrael. And when those two tears hit the ocean, that's what causes an earthquake. So Amrav Katina, Uba Tumya Kadiv. This sorcerer, he is a liar. Umele Kadivin, and his words are lies. Ihachi Guha Guha mi Baile. If that's the case, then it should have been two earthquakes. In other words, if it's two tears, it should have been two earthquakes. Velohi, the truth is the Gemara says Rav Katina wasn't really saying that the sorcerer was wrong. Guha Guha Avid. In fact, ultimately, again, in this case, it actually was two earthquakes. So it happens to be, the Gemara says, that the sorcerer was correct. It's just Rav Katina was scared to go, I was nervous to say publicly that the sorcerer was correct. Because if he would say that the sorcerer was correct, then what could happen? People might end up seeking out the advice or the counsel of the sorcerer on other things as well. So he felt that he had to publicly repudiate the position of the sorcerer, even though the sorcerer was correct. Rav Katina Didei Amar Sope Kapov. Rav Katina himself said that the source of an earthquake is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu claps his hands together. Right? Literally claps his hands together. Not clapping, I will say, out of a state of simcha, but we'll see clapping, like clasping his hands together out of Shnei Emar. V'gamani akwa kapi akapi, v'ani chosi chamasi. I will also bring my hands together and ultimately again calm my anger. Rabbi Nassan Omer, anocha misanach. Rabbi Nassan says, earthquakes occur when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sighs, Shnei Emar, v'ani chosi chamasi bam, v'ani chamti. V'rabbanan amri boit barakia. The Rabbanan say, when do earthquakes occur? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally kicks the heavens. Shnei Emar, he quotes over here, the Pasuk. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Dochei Kisragel of Tachas Kisei HaKavod. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that it's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes his feet down underneath the Kisei HaKavod. So we'll say that imagery is pushing his feet down underneath the Kisei HaKavod sounds like ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing down on the earth. That act of pushing down on the earth creates the earthquake. Shnei Emar, Ko Amar Hashem, Hashamayim Kisi Va'ares Hadom Ragli. So we'll say, see, the idea being in all of these things, first of all, is that the earthquake is a manifestation of divine anger, right? Of divine anger or divine sadness. Just an interesting nafkamina, right? According to the sorcerer, which the Gemara seems to say wasn't really wrong, just Rav Katina felt the need to publicly repudiate him. So the earthquake is a manifestation of divine sadness, the tears falling over the plight of Am Yisrael. According to these other approaches, the earthquake is a manifestation ultimately of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. Next, Va'al HaRa'amim. Next are Ra'amim. So my Ra'amim. What are Ra'amim? So says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Anani Begalgala. So Rashi says over Anani Begalgala, Anani Mechofefin Umechatchechin Benishma'in Hakol. So I'll say, so Ra'amim ultimately again is thunder. It's thunder. So what causes thunder? So Shmuel says it's when the clouds collide with each other. Again, Anonim Michufafin Umechat Umetachin Vinishman Hakol. Lashanach Anonim Pogin Vigilgal Miskalos Fine. So the Shnei Emar Kora Amcha Vagilgal Heidra Berakia Teva Ragzavatira Sharetz. Rabbanan Amri, Rabbanan say that why does thunder occur? Anoni Deshafchi Maya Lahadadi. It's when the clouds literally empty water one into the other. Shnei Emar Lekol Sito Amon Mayim Bashamayim. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Barka Takifa. It is straight Barka Takifa De Barak Beina Baanana Umitbar Gzizi De Barzo. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov has an interesting explanation. He says, what happens? There's a bolt of lightning which strikes the hail, ultimately, again, inside of the clouds and breaks apart the hail that resides inside of the clouds. So therefore, again, that sound of the breaking apart of the hail, ultimately, again, is the thunder. Rav Ashi Amar, Anoni Chalchuli Mechalchali. Rav Ashi says, the clouds are hollow. Va'asi Zeka Umenashiv Apumayu. What happens? The clouds are hollow. It will say when the wind goes ahead and blows against the hollow clouds, it makes the noise of thunder. He says, "V'dami kizeka pum dami." It's the same way. It's the same way that when wind blows across the opening of a barrel, it makes noise. I will say, this, if you do this right, right by the opening of a bottle, right, you blow air across the top of the bottle, then ultimately it makes noise. So too, when the air goes through the hollowness of the clouds, it creates thunder as well. Mistabra, Kirav Acha Bar Yaakov, and it would appear out of all of these opinions that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's opinion makes the most sense. Remember, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was the one who said, Barka Takifa de Bark Ba'anana Umit Bar Gezizi de Barza. So when there's a bolt of lightning that breaks apart the hail inside of the clouds, that's what ultimately causes thunder. So the Gemara likes that one the best. Why? The Gemara says, I'm sorry, Debarak Barka Umenami anani va'asimitra. Because often what ends up happening is there's a bolt of lightning, then a sound of thunder, and then rain comes afterwards. So the Gemara attributes the rain, right? So there's the lightning, then the thunder, which is the breaking apart of the hail, and then the rain, which comes about afterwards, which the Gemara attributes to the broken hail. Like, you know, we'll say, obviously, Chazal going ahead and describing things based on the way they saw them. Va'al haruchos. So we'll say, so again, so this is, so we're going to come to lightning, and so remember, so far you've got on lightning, shekocho ugvuraso mali olam, which is interesting, right? Which is interesting. We'll put this all together in just a little bit. Va'al haruchos. Winds. Winds. So on winds, you also say shekocho. This whole list over here so far is all shekocho ugvurasa male olam, making a bracha that Hakadosh Baruch Hu's koach and his gvura fills the world. My ruchos. What are ruchos? Amar Abaye zafa. So I'll say. So Rashi says over here, zafa is not just the wind, but a strong wind. A strong wind. Amar Abaye gemiri de zafa balai lelohavi. And Rabbi says, you know, we have a tradition that these strong winds don't come at night. So it seems to be that this is a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he doesn't bring these strong winds at night, because a person can't protect himself from them if he's sleeping. The idea is HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them by day, because by day I could see them come and protect myself, but not by night. So the Gemara says, I v'haka chazin and dehavi, but one second we see that these strong winds come at night. Hahu da'aschuli b'yamama. That's true if it started by day. If it started by day, it could continue into the night. So we have another tradition, which is strong winds never last for more than 2 hours. But that's not true, right? That these strong winds do last for more than 2 hours. What it means is, they don't maintain their intensity for a full 2 hours. There's some lull in the middle of those strong winds. Good. Va'al habrakim. And on lightning, right? Va'al habrakim. I'm sorry, on thunder. Right? I take it back. Let's not define it yet. Va'al habrakim omer shekocho gvurasa male olam. So ultimately, again, so we'll say, so what are brakim? My brakim. Amarava barka. Lightning. Lightning. So we'll say, so beforehand, we spoke about ra'amim, which is thunder. Now, ultimately, again, we're speaking about lightning. So my brakim, amarava barka, va'amarava barka yichida, ubarka chiyura, ubarka. So we'll say, so again, just so you understand how the Mishnah is structured, the actual bracha of shekocho gvurasa male olam is attached over here to lightning. But of course, the Gemara's understanding that bracha really is attached to the entire list which preceded it. Okay, so again, we're going to clarify this point in the Gemara just a moment. So therefore, again, Rava says, brakim is barka, lightning. So, lightning, you say, shekocho gvurasa male olam. Vama Rava, barka yechida, a one single bolt of lightning. Ubarka chiyura, white lightning. Ubarka yurukasa, yellow lightning. Va'anoni desalkun bekeren ma'aravis, or clouds that come from the western corner, va'asyon mikaren deromis, but ultimately originated in the southern corner, v'tarti anoni desalkon chada la'ape chaverta, or if you have two clouds, one which comes in front of the other, kulon kashon, all of these foreshadow or foretell something bad going to occur. Nafkamina, so I'll say, what exactly does this matter? Libay rachami, to daven for compassion. In other words, if you see any of these things unfolding, that is a good cue to daven for compassion. But that's only true at night. But in the morning, there is nothing to worry about. In general, clouds in the morning don't really mean anything. So we'll say the idea being clouds in the morning are fleeting and meaning nothing. So we'll say it's actually an interesting raya. So the Gemara over here quotes the pasuk from Hosea that when the Navi gives Musra to Klal Yisrael, says to Klal Yisrael, your chesed, the chesed you do is like morning clouds. Just like the morning clouds are meaningless, they don't do anything, so the chesed you do is meaningless as well. Amali Rafa Bala Abaye, Ha Amri Inchi, Kad Miftach Bavi Mitra. But yes, Rav Papa, so we'll say, so really, is that true that morning clouds don't mean anything? But Rav Papa said that Abaye, there's a famous adage that people say, Kad miftach bavi mitra. So if when you open up the door in the morning, ultimately, again, you see rain clouds. Bar chamra, so donkey driver, moch sakeich, fold up your sack, vigani, and go back to sleep. Which I will say sounds like what it's saying is as follows. That if you wake up in the morning, and ultimately you go out and you see rain clouds, so that is going to be a sign that there's going to be an abundance of rain. If there's an abundance of rain, there's going to be an abundance of produce. If there's an abundance of produce, that means prices go down. If prices go down, it's not worth the donkey driver's time to go out and try to sell his wares, because he's not going to make a profit. So if you open your door in the morning and you see a gathering of rain clouds, donkey driver, go back to sleep. So the Gemara Sabo says, you see that over here, the clouds in the morning are good, to which the Gemara says, Lokasha, had the kater be'eva, had the kater ba'anani. Look at Rashi, had the kater be'eva, is kasha shemayim ba'av ava, az tov kiyered geshem rav. You're right, meaning if there's a thick cloud cover in the morning, that is a sign ultimately of significant rainfall that is going to come. Versus had the kater ba'anana, if it's a very thin, or I guess like wispy cloud covering, ultimately, again, that is nothing. That is nothing. Amra b'alachsanju, amra b'yushab and Levi. Lo nivru u'ramamim. So this is actually an incredible Gemara. Lo nivru u'ramamim, ela lifshot akmumios shebelev. The only reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created thunder was to straighten out the crookedness of the heart. Shene emar ve'elokim asa shim lefarabal. Say, isn't this incredible? We all know that. You know, when you hear thunder, right? Thunder is scary. Thunder is scary. And the amazing part is it doesn't matter how old you get. There's a certain awe, there's a certain fear that thunder just engenders. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely created thunder to go ahead and keep us on the straight and narrow. Because when you hear thunder, you are reminded that there is a Ribono Shel Olam. And when you are reminded that there is a Ribono Shel Olam, it takes away the crookedness of the heart. A lot of times you go through life and we do things, even though we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but somehow we think or we feel that we could kind of circumvent the system, or the things that I'm going to do are not really going to add up. And comes a little, you know, round of thunder, and it reminds me as to the prominence and the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. It takes away the crookedness of the heart. If one sees a rainbow in the clouds, you have to go ahead and literally prostrate yourself, right? You have to fall on your face. Nebo said, now why is that? Shneemar, kimara hakeshes asher yeh ba'anon. Nebo said, now according to the Pasuk seems to indicate, the rest of the Pasuk is, kimara hakeshes asher yeh ba'anon, biyom ha-geshem, kein mara hanoges sabifu, mara dvmus kvod Hashem. The Pasuk in Yechezkel seems to indicate that the vision of a rainbow is like seeing a vision of God. And so too, just like if you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you prostrate yourself, so too when you see a rainbow, you prostrate yourself as well. So the Gemara says, this is Rabbi Shobin Levi. When you see a rainbow, you have to prostrate yourself as if you're seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say in Eretz Yisrael, they disagreed with this practice of prostrating oneself in front of a rainbow. Why? Mishum de mechsi kiman de sagid lekishta. Because we'll say the problem is when people see this, they don't know that you're bowing down to the rainbow. Ultimately, again, because the rainbow represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather, what does it look like? It looks like rainbow worship, right? It looks like, ultimately, again, you're bowing down to the rainbow itself. And of course, that's problematic. So again, instead, we don't bow down in the presence of a rainbow, but what will we do? We'll make a bracha. We'll make a bracha. And what's the bracha? May mevarech, baruch zocher habris. Baruch atu Hashem alkinu melech olam, zocher habris. We say, right, blessed are you Hashem, who remembers the covenant. Of course, a reference to the idea that the rainbow itself is the physical manifestation of the covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Noach, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu and humanity, not to bring another mabul. So Yomar says, "Masnik satana." Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer Nembam Bervisa veKama Ma'amaros. So both Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel, excuse me, had a little bit of an elongated form of the bracha, not just Zocher Abris, but Zocher Abris Nembam Bervisa veKama Ma'amaros. Amar Papa Hilchoch. So our Papa says, you know what? Let's say them both. And ultimately make them into one long bracha. So we'll say, so what is the bracha on a rainbow? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Zocher Habris, God remembers the covenant, V'ne'eman Bevriso, and he is trustworthy to uphold the covenant, V'kayim B'ma'amoro. And ultimately, again, he goes ahead and upholds his words. And we'll say, that indeed is Halacha L'Maisa, that is the bracha we make upon seeing a rainbow. Ala Harim V'ala Gvo. So we'll say, so just before we go on, just for a moment over here, just about lightning and thunder, right? Because interestingly enough, if you notice over here, the Gemara seemed to indicate that both for lightning and thunder, the bracha is shekocho ugvuraso male olam. But of course, we know that, at least we think that in practice, things seem to be a little bit different. Well, listen to this. This is actually really a fascinating halacha. So this is in Siman Reish Chav Zayin, Sif Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Al habrokim va'al ra'amim va'al ruchos al kol echad me'elu omer baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam osem maaseh bereishis. So both say. So the Shulchan Aruch says on lightning and on thunder, you make the bracha of osem maaseh bereishis. Ve'im yirtze yomar baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam shekocho ugvurasom malei olam. It's actually quite interesting. So the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is that on both lightning and thunder, you say Ose Maaseh Bereishis, right? The Hashem created creation. But if you want to say Shekocho Ugvuraso Malei Olam, sounds like on either of them, ultimately you are permitted to do so. So the Mishnah Berurah gives a little bit more clarity to this. He says, V'ha'olam Noagim, Levarich Ala Brakim, Ose Maaseh Bereishis, V'al Hara'amim Shekocho Ugvuraso. So Mishnah Berurah says, our contemporary minog is that on lightning, we say the bracha of Ose Maaseh Bereishis, and on thunder, we say Shekocho Ugvuraso Male Olam. V'chei Mistaber, Sha'ayedei Ha'ra'am Nira Gvuraso Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosrei Barak. Amnam Ve'emes Shayech Kol Achas Mi'abrachos HaShneihem. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, so just to understand how the halacha works. The way the halacha works is, really on lightning and thunder, Osem Maaseh Bereishis. If you happen to want to say Shekocho Ugvuraso Male Olam, that's fine as well. Our contemporary practice, on lightning, Osem Maaseh Bereishis, on thunder, Shekocho Ugvuraso Male Olam. Now he says something very interesting. Va'al kein, im shama barak v'ra'am ke'echad, mevarich bracha achos. Dahainu Osem Maaseh Bereishis al shneihem. V'im berach Shekocho Ugvuraso Male Olam, gam kein yoseh. So we'll see, interestingly enough, therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, if you happen to see lightning and thunder, or hear lightning, excuse me, see lightning, hear thunder, at the same moment, you only make one bracha, says the Mishnah Berurah. Now he says the bracha you should make is Osem Maaseh Bereishis. But if you happen to say Shekocho Ugvuraso Male Olam, that's okay also. So again, so if you, but watch this. Ve'im lo hayut kufim zachar zeh. But let's say again, there was a pause. They didn't come immediately one after the other. Then mevarich tchila ala barak. First you make the bracha on the lightning. Osem Maaseh Bereishis, v'achar kach al haro'im shekocho ugvuraso male olam. So I'll say, so really quite amazing. So therefore again, so the Mishnah Berurah says like this, if you happen to them at the same time, you experience them at the same time, one bracha. Which bracha? Osem Maaseh Bereishis. However, if there is a pause, like there often is between lightning and thunder, you can make an Osem Maaseh Bereishis on lightning, and then a subsequent shekocho ugvuraso male olam on thunder. Bewadinim lo ra'a es habarak v'shama kol ha'ra'am u'beirach alav shekoch u'vrasam alay olam o sheberach osem maaseh bereishis v'achar kach ra'a barak mevarich alav gamkin osem maaseh bereishis. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting, that ultimately, again, if you heard thunder first, right, and you didn't see lightning, you can make a shekocho gvurasam ali olam on the thunder, and then when you subsequently see lightning, you can make a osem maaseh bereishis on that. He quotes away the Shari Tshuva that says that if you made a bracha on the lightning and you had in mind to go ahead and exempt the thunder, ultimately again that works. So we'll say sa'alocha lemaisa, really quite fascinating. The Shulchan Aruch is not mechalik between lightning and thunder. He ultimately says the bracha of Osem Maaseh Bereishis. That goes on both. Mishnah Berurah comes along and says, no, our minhag is Osem Maaseh Bereishis on lightning, Shekochu V'rasa Mali Olam on thunder. On thunder, but that's only if you don't see them at the same time. If you see them at the same time, one bracha, Osem Maaseh Bereishis. If you experience them at two different times, then again, Osem Maaseh Bereishis on lightning, Kochu Gvurasa Omali Olam on thunder. If when you saw the lightning, you had in mind that the bracha of Osem Maaseh Bereishis should go on the lightning and the thunder, ultimately, again, that works. Pretty amazing. So I'll say, Sithimara goes weiter. Alagvos. On the mountains and on the valleys. So remember again, here the Mishnah said, on the mountain and on the valleys, you make the bracha of Osem Maaseh Bereishis. Yeah, the Lashon over here was, So the Gemara picks up on the idea. The brach of Osem Maaseh Bereishis, because Baruch Hu created the world, which essentially means because Baruch Hu created the world. Why is it only going on mountains, valleys, seas, oceans? Is everything else that we mentioned up until now is not part of creation? In other words, we both say Osem Maaseh Bereishis seems like a wonderful, like catch-all bracha that can include everything. Yet we're only seeing it over here. The Haksiv Brachim Lamata Asa Amar Abaye Kroch Vitani. So the Gemara says. See, interesting enough, Abaye says Abaye's idea is Kroch Vitani. Look at Rashi. The Kulu Baruch Osem Maaseh Baruch Osem Bereishis or Baruch Shekocho Mali Olam Kroch Vitani. The Kulu Bechada Bava Valkulum Shtei Brachas Halalu. So we'll say Abaye's version is that really what the Mishnah is telling you is as follows. On all of the items mentioned here, we make two brachas. The bracha of Shekochol Gvurasa Mali Olam and the bracha of Osem Maaseh Bereishis. Rava Amar no. Hasa Mevarech Tarti, Baruch Shekochol Mali Olam va Osem Maaseh Bereishis. Hacha Osem Maaseh Bereishis Ika, Shekochol Mali Olam Leka. So Rava says, although you could make an Osem Maaseh Bereishis on the entire aforementioned list, again, I will say that's not our minog, but you only go ahead and say kochol gvrasim alei olam on those earlier items, not on the items in nature listed over here. Amar Shmuel ben Levi, Harua Rakia b'Tarasa, Omer Baruch Osem Maaseh Bereishis. So what's actually quite beautiful? If you see a perfectly clear sky, what we call the Rakia b'Tarasa, perfectly clear sky, you say the bracha of Osem Maaseh Bereishis. Emasai, when is that so? So Amar Abaye ki asa mitra kuli laila ubitzafra asa astana umagaya lishmaya. So Abaye says that's dafka when it rained all night, and then in the morning the wind came and scattered all of the clouds. In a case like that, where the sky is totally clear, you say Osem Maaseh Bereishis. Upligi derafram bar papa. Amar Chista, damar abraham bar papa ram Chista. Miyom shecharad eis hamikdash lo nires rakia b'tarasa. This argues Rabbi Say on Rav Chista, because what does Rav Chista say? From the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the sky has never been totally clear. Shnei Amar, Albish Shamayim Kederos V'Sak Asim Kisusam. That ultimately, again, the Shamayim is in mourning together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So we'll say, quite an incredible and beautiful idea. Namely, this notion that once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, nature itself mourns with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there is no such thing as a perfectly clear sky. So we'll say, but for our purposes, so remember again, you see great mountains or great valleys, you make the bracha of Osem Maaseh Bereishis. Some of the days, Tan Rabbanon, Harua Chama B'Tekufasa. So we'll say, actually interesting halacha, if one sees the sun at the beginning of its cycle. Or Levana Bigvurasa, or again the moon in its gura, its full strength. Vikochavim Mesilosam, or the stars traveling in accordance with their pathways. Uma Zalos Kisidron, or the constellations in their order. Omer Baruch Osem Bereishis. One goes and makes the bracha of Osem Maaseh Bereishis. Ve'imas Havi, and it will say, when does the sun begin its cycle? Amar Abaye, kol chav ches shnin, every 28 years. V'hadar machzor v'naflat kufas Nisan b'shabsoi, and that is when the Nisan equinox falls out or aligns itself with Saturn, Ba'arta Ditlas Nagi Arba, on a Tuesday evening before a Wednesday. Rebbe said this is a reference ultimately to Birchas Hachama. Right? Birchas Hachama occurring once every 28 years. Rabbi Huda Omer, Haroa Hayam. So also remember again, Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah said that if one goes ahead and sees the great sea, Hayam HaGadol, Omer Baruch Sha'asa Es Hayam HaGadol. So we'll say, so again, for that he has a specific bracha, our blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who made the great sea. So says the Gemara, so the Prakim, but this is only true if what? No, I remember, I'm sorry, the Mishnah itself said, Rabbi Huda Omer Haroa Sayam HaGadol, Omer Baruch Sha'asa Es Hayam HaGadol, Bizman Shiro'ea Leprakim. When do you make this bracha on the great sea? Only when you see the sea in intervals, or at intervals. Or as we'll say, this goes back to what we saw yesterday. Remember again, by yesterday we saw that if you don't see your friend for 30 days, what's the halacha? Shechiyanu. But remember again, I was talking with some of the chevra after the shir. So remember, that's not unique to seeing your friend. That's any event that occurs at infrequent intervals, often will get a shechiyanu. That's why, for example, when we perform a mitzvah for the first time, you light Neiros Chanukah on the first night, you say a shechiyanu. You take lulav and esrog for the first time, you say shechiyanu. The idea is anything that doesn't occur with some degree of frequency gets a shechiyanu. So Rabbi Huda is saying over here that you make a bracha on the great sea, Baruch Sha'asa Es Hayam HaGadol, but ultimately, again, not if you see the sea every day. It has to be leprakim. So Ad Kama, so the Gemara says, how often or how infrequent? So the Gemara says, Am Rami Bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yitzchok, Ad Shloshim Yom. Or as it will say, if you haven't seen the sea for 30 days, then ultimately, again, you'll say, Baruch Sha'asa Sayyam HaGadol. Va'amar Rami Bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yitzchok, Haroa Pras, Agishra de Bava. But it's very interesting. If you see Nar Pras, right? Pras is the Euphrates. If you see the Euphrates from the bridge of Bavel, you say Baruch Ose Maaseh Bereishis. Now, both say, now, what's unique about this? Look at Rashi. Agishra de Bavel Omer Baruch Oseh Bereishis. Kim Lohu Shelo Nishtana Pras Miluchol Aydi Adam Misham Ulamala. Ava Misham Ulamata Hisibua Bnei Adam Derech Acheres. So both say, it's actually very interesting. Apparently, you only say Oseh Maaseh Bereishis on a body of water that has been unchanged by man, right? If it's essentially been the same way in nature. Now, of course, it might have changed over time, but as long as it changed because of natural reasons and not because of man, you could say Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. So the Gemara says over here, if you were looking at the Euphrates from the bridge in Bavel, so it was unchanged from the beginning of time. Downstream from the Euphrates, they had rechanneled it over time. So that you can say Oseh Maaseh Bereishis on only an untampered with Euphrates. Va'idna Dishanuye Parsami Beishor Ula'el. And I will say now that ultimately, again, that the Persians tampered with it only from Beishor and above. So Rav Yosef Aram Ihi Dekira Ula'el. So what Rav Yosef says, you can only say the bracha from Ihi Dekira. So they're just arguing as to exactly where the river was tampered with, and therefore at what point in time can you go in and say Maaseh Bereishis. Va'amar Rami Bar Abba, Haroa Diglas, Agesher De Shavistana. If you go ahead and you see the Diglas, right? So the Diglas is the Tigris River, another one of the rivers. So I'll say, so ultimately, again, if you see it from the bridge of Shivistana, you can also say Maaseh Bereishis. Don't say Maaseh Bereishis. Maichi Dekel. I will say, so there's another one of the rivers, ultimately, that's called Chidak. Remember, again, these rivers are all named in Bereishis as the rivers that flow out of Gan Eden. So the Gemara says, what's Chidakel? Amravashi Shememav Chadin V'Kalin. Its waters are sharp and light. Rashi says, Chadin Charifin Maya V'Kalin Lishkol Ba'aznai V'Tovim Lishdos Shein Mechab Nesogim. Apparently, again, they're sharp, which must deal something with the taste, but they were light in that they were healthy to go out and drink. My pras, why was the Euphrates called the pras? Why? What's the meaning of that name? Shememav parin veravin. That ultimately, again, its waters cause one to be fruitful and multiply. Va'amarava, haydi charifi b'nei mechuzah. The reason why the people of b'nei mechuzah are so sharp and so smart, mishum deshasu maya didiglos. because they drink water from the Tigris River. V'hai di gichuri, and that, we'll say, why do they have a ruddy complexion? Mishum de mishamshi biyamama, because they have relations by day. So apparently because they have relations by day, sunlight, therefore again, their children are of a redder complexion. V'hai dinai di einayu. The most is interesting, this idea that their eyes wander. I don't know if it means that they were cross-eyed or had some type of eye disorder. Mishum de dairu b'bayis afel. Because often they lived in dark homes. So I guess because of the darkness, for whatever the reason, the eyes didn't adjust as well, and therefore, again, they were a bit cross-eyed. Good. Ala gishamim. So we'll say next, rain. So remember again, the Mishnah said, on rain, the bracha is, and al besoros tobos, you say the bracha v'atova hametiv. So we'll say, so rain, and good tidings, good news, hatov v'hametiv. This is actually quite fascinating. So the Gemara says, is that true? That on rain you make the bracha v'atova hametiv. When do you make a bracha on rain? It's such a beautiful lashon. When do you make a bracha on rain? When the chasan goes to greet the kala. What does it mean the chasan goes to greet the kala? When it's raining so much that there are puddles that are pooled on the ground. I will say, if you ever watch, so what happens when it rains and there's puddles? A raindrop falls down and it makes a splash. And so ultimately, again, the puddle, some of the water from the puddle is displaced and jumps up. So it has the appearance that the water from the puddle is going out to greet the raindrop that comes down. It's so beautiful. That's the imagery of Bachasan going out to greet the Kala. So when do you make a bracha on rain? Not just on a little bit of rain, but when there's enough rain, that's when it rains down, the water that's pulled in the puddles jumps up, so to speak, to go and greet the drop that is coming down. So, so beautiful. So beautiful. Good. Look, if you look at Rashi, the Mishiyotza Chasan Likras Kala Shemaim Kivutzin Ala Aretz, that there's water that's gathered on the ground. Ukishatipa Nofelas Aleim Tipal Taktona Boletes Likrasa. When the raindrop comes down, it splashes in the puddle, and the water from the puddle jumps up to give Yochel go ahead and greet the drop, just like the Chasan goes to greet the Kala. My Mevarchin. So Rabbi says, what bracha do you make on rain? So Rabbi Yehuda Modim Anachnu Lach Al Kol Tipa V'Tipa Shahorara Talanu. Rabbi says, this is so beautiful. The bracha you make on rain is, right here, we have so much gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every drop that you have brought down to us. I will say, isn't that beautiful? You know, the amazing part is, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we often look at rain as an inconvenience. But the recognition that rain, every drop of it, is a chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is so incredible. Rabbi Yochanan Mesai Bahachi. Rabbi Yochanan would end this bracha, special bracha on rain, and he would say, Ilu pinu mali shira kayam. Even if our mouth was filled with song for you, like the ocean is filled with water, we would never be able to capture the true praise of you. Eina nachnu maspikim lo dos lecha Hashem Elokeinu ad tishtachave barucha te Hashem rov haodos. And the bracha ends off with saying, blessed are you Hashem, who deserves the majority of praises. Rov ha'odos, v'lo kol ha'odos. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just deserves the majority of praises, not all the praises. Amarava ema hakel ha'odos. Rather, end off the bracha ultimately as saying what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is the God of all praises. Amra papa hilchach nemrenu l'tarvayu. Therefore, ultimately, again, we should recite both of these brachos, or both of these statements, Rov ha'odos v'hakel ha'odos. Baruch to Hashem, Rov ha'odos, kel ha'odos. Elokashim, so we'll say, so again, but what's the problem? The problem is that we just said, what do you say for rain? Hatov ha'metiv. The Gemara now seems to be indicating that rain actually has its own bracha. There is a unique, specific rain bracha. V'elokashim, ha'deshama mishma, ha'dechaza mechzei. Rabbi will say, it depends. Ultimately, again, if you're hearing about rain or if you're seeing the rain yourself. If you look at Rashi says, Shama Mishma, Shebesru Lomer Yardu Gishamim Balayla, Omra Tov Hametiv. I will say, if you don't see the rain, but you just hear about the rain, then what? Then you make the bracha of Hatov Hametiv. But if you actually see the rain, that's when you make this rain-specific bracha. We'll talk about that bracha, where exactly you make that rain-specific bracha. But for now, the idea is, if you hear about it, hatova hametiv, if you actually experience it, the special rain bracha. The Gemara says, deshama mashma, hanu besara stavos. Now, the truth is, if you hear about rain, so I understand, hearing about rain, Abosai is what? Is good tidings, good news. Utnan, al besara stavos, omer barach hatova hametiv. So we'll say, if that's the case, that you're making a tov ametiv, if you hear about rain, so what's the chiddush? We're to learn that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you hear good tidings, right, if you hear good news, you see a tov ametiv. So why do you have to single out hearing about rain? Ella, idi v'idi d'chazi mechzi. The truth is, both cases are talking about where you saw the rain, didn't hear about the rain. V'lo kasha, hada asaporta, hada asatuva. And Abba said, the Gemara says, it's not a contradiction. When do you say the rain bracha? You say the rain bracha ultimately, again, when just a little bit of rain comes. When do you say atova hametiv? When a lot of rain comes. The other possibility is hava hada asatuva. Could be that both cases where there's a lot of rain coming. Velo kasha hada isle ara, hada lesle ara. Very interesting. One is talking about a case where it's raining and you own land. And one is talking about a case where you don't own land. Rashi says, if you own land, then you say atova hametiv. If you don't own land, then you say the rain bracha. So the Gemara says, if you go ahead and you own land, you say atov ametiv. Is that true? If a person went ahead and purchased, built a new home or acquired new utensils, Omer Baruch Shech Yonu Vigiyonu Lazmanazah. So we'll say, if a person goes and acquires something, so what's the halach? He builds a new house, acquires new utensils, he says the bracha of Shech Yonu. Shalom v'shalachirim. It will say, however, if he gets something that is going to benefit him and others, Omer Hatov Hametiv. Ultimately, he says the bracha of Hatov Hametiv. So we'll say, see here, the halacha distinguishes something that is beneficial to you, then what? You say Shechyanu. Something that is beneficial to you and to others, you say Hatov Hametiv, which makes sense. What does Hatov Hametiv mean? Hatov Hametiv means God is good, and Metiv bestows good upon others. Which sounds like you're making a bracha for something that's beneficial for you and beneficial for others. So if that's the case again, so what did we just say? In our last explanation, we said, if you own land, you say Hatov Hametiv. If you don't own land, you say the special rain bracha. But if you own land, that benefits you. If it benefits you, then what? Then what? You should say which bracha? Shech Yonu, not Hatova Metiv. Halo Kasha, Hadi Isle Shutvus, Hadalas Le Shutvus. In a Chayyim, Gemara says, you're right. When do you say Hatova Hametiv? If it rains on your land? If when? You own the land with a partner. In which case, again, the rain doesn't just benefit you, but it benefits you and your partner. Ay, Vahatanya. Kitaro Shaldavar. Al Shalohu Omer Baruch Shech Yonu Vikimanu. Vial Shalchaveiro Omer Baruch Hatova Hametiv. So we'll say Kitar Shadavar means bottom line. Right? Bottom line, the succinct halacha is as follows. If something good happens to you and to you alone, you say the bracha of Shechyanu, Vikimanu, Vigyanu Lazmanazah. But if something good happens to you and it's of benefit to you and benefit to your friend, you say Atova Hametiv. So the Gemara says, is that true? Is that now both said the Gemara seems to be saying that this is the model. Shechyanu is if something good happens just for you. Hatova hametiv is when it happens good for you and also has a positive benefit for someone else. Is that true? So you're telling me now that whenever something good happens and it doesn't benefit someone else, you don't say hatova hametiv. Vatanyo, they said, we learned in Raisa, Amrulo, Yolda Ishto Zachar. If someone has a baby boy, Omer Baruch Hatova hametiv, he says the bracha of hatova hametiv. So we'll say, so again, who else does the baby benefit besides me? Yet I'm making a tov ametiv. Tirshu Gemara says, no. Don't forget, hasanami di'ika ishto bahadei. By the way, this is your wife. Right? So we'll say, so again, there is a benefit to more than one person. There is a benefit to more than one person. The nechal of a zachar, the wife is also happy that she had a son. So ultimately, again, there are two people that benefited from the birth of this baby, and therefore make a tov ametiv. Tashma. We'll say, listen to this. Meis aviv v'hu yarsho. If a person lost his father, but in the course of losing his father, he gets a Yerusha. So what's the halacha? Betchilo Omer Baruch Dayan HaEmes. First you make the bracha of Dayan HaEmes over the loss. Ul Basov Omer Baruch Hatov V'Hametiv. both say incredible. You make a dayan ha'emes ultimately again over the loss, and a tova hamitiv over the yerusha. The order in which you make your bracha says a lot about your relationship with your father. And so we'll say, so ultimately again, so you go out, but those are the two brachas. So yet again here, I'm the only one benefiting from the Yerusha. So which the Gemara says, Hasanami di'ika achi di'kayarsi bahadei. What's that case over there? I have brothers. I have brothers, so they're also inheriting along with me. Tashma, so we'll say, so the Gemara goes weiter. Tashma, shinui yain in tzarach levarich. We'll say, ultimately again, if you change wines, let's say you start drinking one wine and then you switch over to a different wine, you need not make another Brei Priya Gafen. Shinui makum tzarach levarich. But if you're drinking wine in location A and then switch to location B, you must make another Brei Priya Gafen. Remember Yosef, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, afapi shamru shinui yain tzarach levarich. Even though we said if you switch wines, you don't have to make a new Hagafen. Aval omer baruch hatov v'hamitiv. But you must make a tova meitiv. Now, both said, the truth is that bracha making a tova meitiv is when dafka when you go from white to red, right? Not, even if you go from a better from one red to a better red, you don't make a tova meitiv. Only from white to red, and only assuming that the red was not there at the time you made the hagafen. That's the halacha. That's the halacha. So, for example, if you make kiddush over white wine and then you drink red wine, see, if the wine was on the table at the time you made kiddush, it's covered by your hagafen. But if it wasn't at the table and you start drinking red wine, you make atova meitiv. So, we'll say, Pashas, who's the only person benefiting from the wine? From my, it's me. You know, I'm making atova meitiv, something that just benefits me. To which the Gemara says, same idea. What's the case? The case is where I'm drinking with a group of people, so I am not the only person benefiting from the wine. Ultimately, again, others are benefiting from it. So we'll say, so the Gemara ends off with a principle. And the principle ultimately is that if something just benefits you, you make the bracha of shachianu. If something benefits you and benefits others, you make the bracha of atov ha-meitiv. We'll have to stop over here, but we'll say, we're going to pick up with this halacha tomorrow. Because this distinction between shachianu and atov ha-meitiv is a fascinating one that has halacha l'maaseh ramifications, which we'll start our share with the Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Yeah. I can't say it.